Mr. Manager, you have an issue, first topic?
Yeah, if I might push the IBEW topic first, it'll be very short. So Local 2, at a meeting last week, voted not to proceed with the issue on the agenda tonight. So no one is here to talk about fair share, and related to that are two items on the regular agenda, an intro on first read. It's B279-12 and B280-12. Those should be withdrawn when you amend the agenda later on.
So we'll make a motion to withdraw 279, 280, and I think, Barbara, you want to remove 284 from the first read also. So we'll make a motion to remove all three items.
So moved.
During the, no, we'll do it during the
as we begin the
read the agenda.
That meeting.
Okay.
Okay. With that, I think we'd like to give you a bit of information about Getabout funds, and then there's, I know, a couple of other topics we'll have time to discuss. One is the break time, and then the path, the grindstone trail. So we'll start with Getabout. John.
Thank you. Here a while back, about 2006, I believe it was, we got $22.5 million worth of non-motorized money from the federal government, a grant, so to speak. Four communities got this money. It was in the federal transportation bill. And so we were very fortunate. So we're here we are. We brought you the $6 million. We got an additional $6 million. $6 million added to that for a second round. And back in March, you all proceeded with the $6 million to do the first five projects. And so we're back tonight after many, many vetting, IP meetings. We're recommending 19 projects were presented to you, the first five. So we basically have about 14 for you to consider. So we're requesting this input tonight. We're going to do pre-council. Mr. Ted Curtis is going to give you a presentation on what has transpired with these 14 projects. And then in the council meeting, there's a report at the end of the meeting to where we need direction on which ones you want to proceed with so we can continue the work. Any questions on that portion before I turn it over to Ted about the public process? Ted?
Thank you. What we did is we did a two-step process. We essentially had an IP meeting on June 13th. It was well attended, 49 individuals, lots of comments and things. We passed out surveys. Then we followed up the day after with an online survey and posted it around. We had, between the two, we had a total of 312 responses, which is quite a bit. There's quite a bit of interest in the community. And when we sent a survey out, we asked people to vote for five of the remaining 14 projects and based it on considering all parts of the city, what was the highest potential for getting people to walk or bike for transportation. So we asked them to take kind of a city view and respond that way. Generally, the public generally agreed with the ranking. Two projects got negative comments, and we tabulated those from the responses, written responses in the surveys. The project number 12, the Shepherd to Rollins, it did rank among the top five, but it did get some oppositional comments, about six of oppositional comments. Another project, and by the way, that Shepherd project ranked higher than some of the projects that we had ranked higher. So that, from a public standpoint, ranked higher than Project 10 or 11.
Just make one little comment there. When the alternate trail came, we had loads and loads of negative comments. So I see six negative as a huge improvement.
Which alternate trail are you talking about? The Shepherd to
Rock? Yeah, many years ago, there was an alternate connection on that. That was much more negative.
Correct. That was a connection through Bluffdale, along Bluffdale Road. Another project that got a lot of opposition was Project 19, which we at the bottom of the list, and it also got 19, just by coincidence, 19 oppositional comments. And when you get to report, this is the tabulation sheet. I'll zero in on the remaining projects. There are 14 projects. And what I would like to do is go through the first nine of them in detail. The remaining five ranked low as far as what we felt mode shift potential was and got lower votes, so I wasn't going to take your time and go through those, but go through the first nine item by item and provide some details on those. Now, this map is what you also find in your package. And this shows the this shows all the projects essentially, including the first five that you had voted on. Shows how they're pretty much distributed through the community. And if there are any questions, I can come back to this.
I don't see 19 on this map.
19?
I got it. Thank you.
If there are any questions, yeah, please. Okay, starting with number six, County House Trail. There were two County House Trails. There's a west and an east. The east section is number 19, got the one that got lots of negative comments. The west section, which we show here, got a lot of positive votes, 140 positive votes. It essentially follows a city right-of-way. It's kind of listed as an alley on the map, but it's not improved, so it doesn't require a lot of acquisition, but there will be some property acquired in a couple places, and essentially serves the neighborhoods north of Rollins to connect up to the County House Trail, since it's like phase two of the County House Trail. And all the projects are great projects, so I'm not going to say that necessarily about this one because they're all good projects, but this one got a lot of votes from the public. Another one that got a lot of votes from the public and we felt really was important is a sidewalk on the north side of Clark Lane. We're making some improvements on the east section of Clark Lane, and this would tie into those improvements. We expect Clark Lane to sometime be improved. When we looked at the alignment there, there's quite a bit of right-of-way. We feel we can put at least a wide sidewalk on most of the trail and not have to ever take it out when we put the road right-of-way in. So this would be an addition to the future improvement, the Clark Lane, it would complement that. And it's just an awful place to walk. There's no shoulder, a lot of traffic, and it just ties in that neighborhood to more of the retail commercial area. Again, a good project. Another project that partially completes the system or does a lot to complete the system is just some bike lanes on Providence and Nifong. We identified them early in the project to stripe bike lanes on those. The shoulders get used, but they're deteriorating. We felt it'd be a total waste of money to do any kind of striping indication because of the condition of the shoulders. We had a TH&H come in, an outside consultant come in and take a look at the shoulders and recommend what could be done. It's a relatively inexpensive project for the amount of distance and tying it in. And it's an important connection to really tie in the bike lane system, the on-street system. Number nine, Hinkson Creek Trail. This project, there's a TDD that's connecting Conley Road to the outer road on 63. It's going forward. It should be going into construction sometime in the near future. This ties into the TDD, so it's a very timely project. It ties in the TDD and would connect from the Walmart, Sam's area up to the northeast quadrant of the city, a very important connection. There's also talk in that area on Clark Lane to put in possibly some housing development in that. It would tie into the housing development and provide a connection from that area down to. Yes.
As I was looking at this, since this connects to TDDs, have we looked into having the TDDs pay for it? I mean, because that's one of the clear purposes is connecting residential to the service area.
It wasn't part of their TDD package to the to this court, so we'd have to talk to Fred about that. They would have to do an amendment to their TDD, I'm sure.
I would like to see that. Yeah. If we have another source of funds, it makes sense.
And I thought they had agreed to do that.
Yeah.
I don't recall. I'd have to go back and check.
Do you remember my
Mr. Bespool, but
you recall?
It doesn't leap to mind, but it rings a vague bell, but not.
My recollection is they're restricted in what they can do with their funds by state law, are they not? Although we'd love for them, you know, we'd think this would be in their interest, but that doesn't necessarily mean the law allows it.
I thought it was just if it was transportation-related. It's very broad, actually.
Oh, well, in that case, then they might be interested in contributing.
Contact them for sure.
We have coordinated with the TDD, and the TDD is putting in pedways on the part they're improving, and they're also going to be grading from the TDD down to where we need to pick up the trail. So there has been some coordination, although they aren't going to complete the total trail, but there is coordination going on.
Very good to hear. That reduces the cost to the getabout, does it not, quite substantially, if they do some grading and so forth?
Well, the TDD probably wouldn't put all that in, but at least up to I-7, they probably would.
Yeah, they're putting in a portion, so it does help, but it doesn't cover all the funding.
Right. On this particular project?
On this particular project.
They won't be working on the north side of 70.
What are the future plans to connect that to the project number 6 that goes down Clark Lane?
This actually, we're looking at different ways to make that connection. One is tying into some of the back roads behind Home Depot. Another is to look at the sidewalks along there in the intersection, but definitely important to connect the two.
Right.
Another trail that didn't get as many votes as some of the earlier ones, but it's actually in use right now, and I think there'll be a lot more demand when Hominy Trail actually goes in. Connects from the Shepherd neighborhood along, I think it's probably a utility easement, down to where the Hominy Trail ends. It's, like I said, it's being in use. People go from there up to some of the retail areas. So the neighborhood is a neighborhood. I actually identified this as a potential route.
That neighborhood?
The Shepherd neighborhood. It came out of the Shepherd neighborhood meeting, right.
Let me ask you, sir, now on Pepper Tree Lane, are there houses? Is there residential property near where
there is? Right, this would take some acquisition.
Well, the only thing I would point out is if you go over to Buck's Run, that terminates, that's in the floodplain basically,
right.
And there's no houses down there.
Correct. We looked at both. Buck's Run could work too. This is really a steep hill.
I know,
this is a little better from a grade standpoint.
But there's also no steep hill of houses of neighbors who object.
That's true.
The climb.
Yeah, we could look at either one. I think a lot of connections in that area make a lot of sense. That whole Moon Valley area is really important.
If I could just add, there was a year or 2 year long process working with Shepherd Elementary School with the parents in the community in that area regarding safe routes to school, and this was identified as an important connector for kids walking to school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's high on the priority list for the school connection.
And I would note that while this may serve, this has a lower number of votes, but it may serve a more of a pocket area that might not be of general use, but that serves the people it serves better, if you know what I mean. That it's more necessary in terms of connectivity.
I think the other point is that it does give the whole Shepherd neighborhood pretty much a straight shot to Stevens Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, I'm not going to criticize the Fedway on Old 63, but I just don't see that as a route that kids are going to use to get to go to.
They got to go.
Well,
west,
actually, it's that one's going to go under the two ends.
I know,
but
still,
it's
still a large.
Good,
it's still a long sidewalk along a busy road, and
this
would be a direct connector between a large neighborhood with kids and Stevens Park.
And certainly, we can look at the alignment too as we get into the project. Again, this is what came out of the neighborhood of alignment that they actually use right now. But we can look at the Bucks Run alignment too. It gets a little more complicated because I think it requires a bridge.
And that one was only $180,000. It's one of the lower costs of the proposals you have.
That's correct. Wabash Walkway, it's been on the list for a long time. It got some significant votes. One of the complications on this, on the Boone County Lumber has been talking about developing on their property potentially. That could affect the whole thing. That's something that we didn't consider when we proposed this project. But if Boone Lumber actually goes in and does a development as opposed to a lumber yard, it could affect the potential use of the railroad there. So it may change that whole area. Again, they're looking, there's rumors, and I've talked to some of the owners there, and they're pretty serious about at least considering some sort of development at that point. So that could affect this project as far as trying to, it's much easier to use a rail line on the rail line as opposed to trying to build something alongside. So that, now again, that's a more recent development than when we proposed this project.
And that one has 19 easements too.
Quite a bit. We talked to the legal department, even though it's on our, quote, railroad right away. Fred felt that since it was a railroad easement and we're putting a trail in addition to the railroad easement, we'd have to go and get easements from everybody alongside the railroad, even though we're, quote, doing it on, quote, our property. So it takes a bit of easement work, too. East-West connection, Barbara mentioned this earlier, that the earlier alignment had gotten a lot of resistance. This, the Shepherd neighborhood, has really been pushing, and there's been a committee looking at it. It's a good project. It's expensive, but it's a great connection to tie in from the Shepherd neighborhood over to the campus and Rollins Avenue.
At the end of this, I'm going to pitch this with another change to the Grindstone Recreational Trail, which will make our Parks and Rec people very nervous, but I want to have opportunity to pitch this in place of the Grindstone Trail.
And if I could just mention the neighborhood Valley View, which this part of this trail would go behind, they just had a neighborhood meeting and picnic and reported back to me that they were very much in favor of this trail again. And also, we walked the East Campus, Clyde Wilson side, about a month ago with the neighborhood president, and we got who's been involved in this whole process, but got, again, good reception and positiveness. So there's still a lot of support for this.
This also opens up, not only does it open up Shepherd Boulevard, but if you've ever been riding your bike on Old 63, it's a long way from Stadium to Broadway. There's no way for a car to go that way, let alone on foot. I mean, there just isn't a way at all, you know, which to my mind makes this more appealing than something like, than say, Nifong Forum shoulders, because while the shoulders are terrible, they're there, whereas this is something that isn't even there, which is, you know.
I agree.
Continuing on, the West Boulevard sidewalk, it's desperately needed. It's and there's part of it in there, but it's in really bad shape. We did some early work on it, and the neighborhood got involved, and it was a phase one project that got pulled because of, I guess, some concerns by the neighborhood, but I think just because of the council person at that time not pushing it very hard.
Another thing, too, is people hope that when that gets done, that it'll slow the traffic down a little bit.
Right.
Find some way to slow traffic on West, because they fly down that section of West.
Yeah, West Boulevard has a lot of potential.
Yeah, this is my ward, but, you know, there's 19 projects here, and, you know, the one we just saw is something that makes possible something that was impossible. This is... you know, this, while it's important, I think there's a lot, there's 19 projects here. We're going to have to weigh all this out very carefully.
There's another Clark Lane project we looked at. The the west part of Clark Lane. Again, another project that is desperately needed because there's no place to walk there. There may be some changes in the area, again, with the housing development potentially going in that area. They're looking at that. So we felt this was a good project. It's complicated because of the drainage and things in that area. Didn't get as many votes as some of the other projects when we went to the public on the votes. And I want to kind of mention as we go through this, and I should have mentioned earlier, there are three criteria at the top, you see on the top of these sheets. Mode shift estimate, which was a staff-generated, what we think the potential for mode shift was. Commission rating, which was a synopsis of the Bike Ped Commission, the Get About Committee, and the Parks Commission, and the votes. And the votes, what came out of the surveys. So those were the three ratings on the top on these. And I should have mentioned that earlier.
Yeah. The higher, the better?
Higher, the better.
On the CIP, I thought this sidewalk ran to Lakewood rather than Eastwood.
I'm not familiar with what was on the CIP. It may have. There's a wide shoulder on along that first part, though. And that
I'm pretty sure it did because it'd be just a small gap between the new development that's going to go in out there and where the sidewalk was proposed to end. It would be a small piece that the, I guess the city would have to put in for the apartment complex.
Yeah, we can certainly look at the actual scope of it if it goes
forward. But we need to get down to that development, where we need to get to, right, at Lambeth.
On the ratings, I think the question on the ratings, a mode shift estimate, one is the highest potential, two is medium, three is less. Same with the commission rating, one is the best, two is less, and three is down, but the votes is just straight number of votes for the project. Yeah.
The thing is, I'm thinking a bunch of the traffic here would be perhaps going to destinations north on Pyrrhus, and there is a way, namely down Sullivan and Whitegate. So while this is critical to get Clark Lane fixed, I'm seeing an alternate route, and I don't know if the how you've weighed that in your decisions.
There are sidewalks through the neighborhood that people can get there, but they do walk this section. I mean, you see people walking in this section.
It's voting with their feet, so
right.
that's important to know.
Well, sidewalks are sidewalks. You can't ride a bike on a sidewalk. Pedways you can ride a bike on, right?
Well, if you're not in the downtown area, you can ride on sidewalks too, and people do. So there are means to get along.
But when we do a pedway on Old 63, that is intended to allow bikes on it, right? The grindstone to Stevens Lake.
Right.
That is a pedway which is intended to allow bicycles. In general, the bicycles are not allowed on sidewalks in the city. Are they allowed on sidewaks here?
This is not in the downtown district. The only requirement, the law is that not in the downtown district is when you can't ride a bike. Right. So they could here.
Where you would be right, Bob, is that on, unless it's 8 to 10, 8 to 12 feet, it's really impossible for two bicycles to pass each other, which makes it sort of impractical.
Right. And with walkers, yes.
Right. And there is some contention.
Well, that was the first nine projects. Again, I didn't go into detail on the remaining five because they were kind of low on many different criteria. But just kind of in summary, the projects were vetted through the commissions and the public. The ones that I presented had the highest ratings. Kind of a little background, like some of you weren't here when we went through the first round with the council, but the council then over-programmed projects. In other words, they identified more projects than there was potential budget for, and the intent of that was if there's any projects that fall through or had some real problems in the end, we didn't want to leave any money on the table. And so by over-programming, we were guaranteed to at least capture all the federal money. And just want to also mention that on the Round Run project, we're holding some contingency for the construction of the last $3 million of projects that have not been bid yet. But it appears that there could be some significant funding left over from round one, too, to put in the kitty.
So basically, we have committed $3.368 million, and the grant allows $2.561 million remaining to pick the projects that we want. Am I right about that?
No, if we were to choose Shepherd Boulevard, that would be that, and then we'd have one other $500,000 project.
I want to throw something out there right now that I don't know how this is going to respond to this. We have the grindstone to McGuire project is $1.4 million. What?
Can we call up your slide?
Yeah, bring it up. I'll come over and show it to you. Okay, this is 63, am I right?
Yes.
And this is, where's Stadium Boulevard? I got to get our
there it is.
Yeah, there's Stadium Boulevard. Okay. And this is the Grindstone Creek and the proposed Grindstone Trail going to the McGuire Bridge area here, going through here. And it goes down and connects at the Grindstone Nature area right here. I think some of us have received comment. I received an invitation to look down here at East Point to a couple of homes that would be severely impacted. I think, Barbara, you've been down there, haven't you?
I've been down there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the Bakers have a large, expansive backyard, which goes all the way up to Grindstone Creek, and the easement area looks like it's substantially up into the backyard. And this, by any stretch of the imagination, has to be considered intrusive.
And there's another house. That's
right, another house.
Severely impacted.
Now, you know, we can use whatever arguments we want to say that the way your property value will go up, you'll eventually learn to like it. But we are confronted with citizens who believe this will be extremely intrusive to their home. And I think if you go out there and look at it, you know, I think you would probably have to agree with that.
Just add that the Neighborhood Association of all those homes has voted overwhelmingly 32-4 or something like that against the trail going right through, supporting the homeowners there.
I haven't said that. Let me just and maybe this is a simplistic way for me to look at this. I look at trails as having two benefits. One is the pure recreational aspect of it. For example, this Grindstone Nature Area Trail here crosses the Grindstone Creek once and the Hingston Creek four times in a mile and a half. And it's just basically secret. Probably should keep it a secret, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful winding trail that goes under Rock Quarry Road on its way over to those university soccer fields below the president's house. So that is, it doesn't really connect anything, really. It's a recreational trail. A lot of people jog on it, some people bike on it, some people hike on it, but it's recreational. This right here connects McGuire Bridge with this spot here, which I think you'd have to say that doesn't make it a transportation, you know, it's not like this is a transportation focus right here. It is true that it would provide transportation for these neighborhoods, but apparently these neighborhoods don't want it. So for me, that gets down to the fact that if they mean what they say, then, you know, they don't want it for its recreational value. I don't know about the Bluff Point people. I've not, you know, they may be profoundly in favor of it. So I'm just throwing this out as a preliminary deal here. Because of the degree of intrusiveness here and because of the lack of support by East Point, we could throw $1.4 million from this trail into those other choices. In other words, if we didn't do this one, we have $1.4 million to add to that $2.8 million to work with. Now, from a transportation standpoint, you know, we wanted this trail to get to McGuire Bridge to get up to the IBM area. You know, and there is a very well-defined, robust, well-marked bike lane along Stadium Boulevard here. And you could, if you, and it's also goes all the way down, too. But you could very easily, from a transportation standpoint, use the existing bike lane on Audubon. There is an existing bike lane on Audubon. You could use the existing bike lane on Shepherd. And now you have direct access between the university through that Rollins-Shepherd connector. So you have your transportation needs met. You lose the recreational part of this, but you would then have $1.4 million. You now have $4.2 million to work with by if we chose to eliminate a trail for which there is some, seems to me, substantial neighborhood resistance. So I don't know that we decide that. I just want to throw that out there because if the citizens of East Point and Bluff Point really want this trail, it's time for them to step up. If they really don't want the trail, then we should use that $1.4 million and put it in areas of trail sidewalk needs that have been identified and people really do want.
Go ahead.
I was going to say just what you're suggesting will also serve this large Shepherd neighborhood very well. What else was I going to say? Oh, and it's what it's doing is focusing on central city. So you're serving a higher density population and putting in the center spokes of the connectors, which makes more sense. They'll be used more now, and then you can look at building out later.
And,
so it's more central city.
This makes particular sense to me if we do the Shepherd to Rollins, which is, of course,
right,
putting 1.7 back in. But and it makes sense with Ms. Hoppe's comments. And I agree with your comments about transportation, that this shoulder you're pointing to along Stadium under 63, under US 63, is not bad riding at all. It's really very easy to see. You have good lines of sight. The traffic is slow. And I think if I worked at IBM and were given this choice, I would say, hey, I'd rather have the Shepherd to Rollins so I could get into campus. And I'd be willing to ride up Audubon and Shepherd.
And another thing, too, is we're going to have how many beds in an apartment complex over there? 700? So there's going to be 700 students in that area, and this gives them direct and immediate access on that Shepherd to Rollins connector into the university.
Yeah. Do you think, Mr. Curtis, that we would need a small bike ed component for that apartment and for IBM to kind of, or could we do something? Because bicycle education is very cheap, and if people realized how safe that shoulder was up to Audubon, that would then do what the mayor is, or allow what the mayor is suggesting in a way that would still serve those people. But I'm wondering if we need an education component to.
Well, we certainly could work with people in the complex. That would be pretty easy because they're self-contained.
And then work directly with the IBM HR people to kind of convince them that this is okay and send some people out to guide them or something. I don't know.
But we're actually going to use Parks and Rec as that component in this phase.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Yeah, because I'll tell you, education's a lot cheaper than concrete.
So Parks and Rec
I don't think we're,
that.
This is about making a decision. I think that this is about throwing out some ideas that we all could think about because, if East Point and Bluff Point really do want this trail, it's time to speak up because we've got a lot of transportation needs from people in the community who really do want it and do need it.
Yeah, I agree. That's actually a really good idea. I'm liking this. Now, at the end of the meeting during the report section, are you wanting guidance at that time on these projects?
Right. I would just, if you do kind of what the mayor's talking about, you got another 1.4, so we could go down to number 12 or 13 since we're going to have some left over for phase one, and you could say down to that point we're good with or whatever. Or whichever projects you're wanting to do.
Are you prepared to put up during that report the tally? You got 2.8 to work with. If you add back in the 1.4 from the grindstone to McGuire Trail, now you got 4.2.
On the sheet, there's a running total for it, so we know exactly where you're at. It's in the report. So there's a running total.
There's a running total?
Out to the side. Go back.
I'll figure it out.
And
right here.
Well, yeah, the mayor's.
You get,
I was going to say, East Point has spoken up repeatedly and loudly that they do not want it. So I would be surprised if they changed their mind.
And when I went to East Point to talk to the neighbors, I rode my bike there, and it wasn't difficult.
Yeah. Two questions. One is, I'm looking at the running total, and if we go down to 14, I'm seeing a running total of 8.45. And I don't know how you're getting to the 4 million if some of this is coming from other pots. And then, is the grindstone to McGuire Trail a park sales tax thing, or is it a get? I'm seeing a head nod there. And can we use that? Can we do that substitution?
It is park sales tax. It was an approved ballot issue project, but I believe the council has the prerogative to assign that money as they think is the highest benefit to the community. So,
and would you be, you know, maybe I'll ask you during the break, but I'll ask you how sad you would be if we made that substitution.
Well, we've talked about it as a staff. We think both projects are great projects. We were trying to fulfill our commitment to the voters. You know, that
right.
The Grindstone Trail had been a project that was specifically called out in the 2010 ballot issue, and we felt we had to work through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we've always understood the council has the prerogative to shift it around, and they're
right.
Both very good projects. So.
But you raise an excellent point, is that we should not change what we, you know, it wasn't a hard and fast commitment that that's what the park sales tax was for, but when you represent to the voters on a sales tax that that's what it's for, you have to have a really good reason to not do what you said or what the intention was.
I would qualify that very good point by saying this, that if we eliminated Grindstone to McGuire Trail, recreational trail,
mm-hmm.
and instead substituted sidewalks, I think Parks and Rec might have a beef. I don't know if they would or not.
But if
we're substituting the Hominy to Rollins.
Shepherd to Rollins.
And the Hominy Trail to Pepper Tree Trail in its place, you're still doing nature trails.
I agree with that. I think they'll serve a similar purpose, and I don't think that would be. I agree.
And you're replacing one that doesn't have opposition, replacing one that has opposition with another one that doesn't.
Yes, I think. And the only problem with answering tonight would be to give people time to give us feedback on that. But I'm liking this idea a lot.
You know what we probably need to do during the report section is to throw this out there, and because I know that Mr. Kessel wants to move 14 up, and we need to probably have a chance to look at these and rebalance the numbers and come back at another time with suggestions.
But realize that every project that you put on always has to come back for a public hearing. It's a public improvement, and so it has to have its public.
But we are going to be establishing priorities,
yes,
and
you will.
There's going to be
yes,
a list of five or six that we're going to be giving, and if we can agree to that, that's great. Maybe
yeah.
we can.
Can we do it all in one giant public hearing or have them all at the same?
No, we do individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
We couldn't
right.
design them all at one time.
Because I'm thinking the advantage, I see Ms. Hoppe's point is it would be too long of a hearing, but, you know, it has the advantage of we're prioritizing and not cherry picking.
With our approval of that development on Clark Lane, I just feel like we have to push 14 up and get that in the this project because that's going to happen and we need sidewalk there.
And that's what I was thinking. If we could prioritize 6 through 14 and tell me which order you want to do them in, that would be good because, as Ted said, we got some money left over from phase one. It looks like we could get down to 14 possibly.
Well, right. It's one of the $500,000 projects, and we get a lot of $500,000 projects, so there's probably some room for trading.
Well, if we come up with an agreement tonight, we can think about it, and then when we come to report session, let's kind of put our heads together and flip these numbers around. And if we come to an agreement, great. If not, we can always, you know, come back. But I think we've thrown some stuff out there, and this has been a very useful presentation. I think you want to talk about grindstone rezoning?
Yes, just a couple things on it's item B255-12, which is the rezoning for the break time. You're going to see an amendment sheet tonight. I hope you already have. It catches us up to the latest changes on it. So you have four options in terms of a decision-making scenario tonight. You can approve the item as it's presented. You can deny the item as it's presented. You can table it till later, or you can approve the amendment. So it's four fundamental decision points here, and I just call it out to give you time to make sure and read that.
Now, you haven't dealt with the validity or lack of validity of the challenge. Where do we stand on that?
See if legal staff's here. Here's Fred. If I get this wrong, Fred, feel free to correct me. The state law is, I think, fairly clear, which exempts right away from that measurement. However, the case law flips that so that you do not do that. So in this case, the petition isn't.
Is there a point to be made that the petitioners, had they known that, would have gotten?
I think there is a point to be made there. In fact, you know, staff indicated the original understanding, which was 185, and you take the right-of-way out. Our understanding is now evolved with case law review, so that they were given what ends up being wrong information by staff.
Since we gave wrong information, would it be unreasonable to table this and let them have another run at it?
That's a very reasonable option you have. I don't know about take another run. I'm on another scenario, there was a deadline, and that wasn't an option. But
I think under the circumstances, it would be reasonable.
And we could give them that option, and they can decide whether they want to proceed with the hearing tonight or have the ability to get additional signatures for the protest petition.
So we should ask them if they want. I don't.
That's the table option you have in front of you. You can wait on a decision. Three other decisions.
So we will wait for the public hearing for them to ask for that. We'll make that decision after the public
right,
hearing.
Right. When you get to that part of the agenda, I'll try to find it.
Because they're not. I don't think they're here right now. Okay. I don't know if they've seen the amendment or anything.
So those are the options that, as a council, we can offer.
Yeah, if it...
Right, it's old business, so when we get there, those are the four options.
If it makes any difference, my intention, had we not tabled this, would have been to vote no, because I think it would be thwarting the intention of the process. I'm not allowed to talk about that now.
Just say that again.
I was just going to say, my intention would have been, had we proceeded, to vote no, because I would think that there would be a technicality about the petition, and that it would be sort of doing an end run around the people if we did this based on the fact that we informed them that there was a valid petition and later didn't, and so forth. And I don't know if that makes any difference.
No, it does make sense, and I think that'll be part of the discussion should a motion to table come up.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to make sure you all knew you have those options, and that's all I have on that one.
Is it now the amendment sheet is proposed by the
by the
developer,
the applicant? Yeah.
So that's one that really is, there's really no reason for us not to accept the amendment sheet.
I think that's my sense, and it's worth asking them later in the meeting. I see representatives here. I think they've come up with that through discussions with the neighborhood. I might be wrong. I think that's the case. So,
well, we can ask for that after the public hearing also. We can actually move on that. And if we don't vote to table, we'll obviously have a vote. It will be take four votes to pass. If we vote to table and they are successful in a challenge petition, it would take five votes. That's basically the way it lays out.
Right.
Any other items? Anybody else? Let's take about 10 minutes and go at it.